We have a joy. I'm Steve. Anyone doesn't know me, I'm Steve. I have the joy of leading Grace Church across both its locations. We're here in Chichester. We've got a congregation in Bognor who will be starting a meeting in about 25 minutes' time. And the joy for Sydney will be preaching here. And then we're going to shoot off. I'll be driving him down there to go and preach in Bognor as well. So it's an interesting way of doing things. And we just want to encourage you as we come into September, because we're looking toward a third location as well. We'll explain about that then. So 14th of September, we've got prayer week, so get that in your diary. And on that evening of the 14th, Sunday in the evening, we're going to be talking about locations, we're going to be talking about more eldership for the church and all sorts of stuff. So get that 14th in Sunday evening, and then during the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday evenings, we're going to gather and pray. Put them in your diary, come and be with us. We'll give you more details as it approaches. And so that'll be good. One of the joys of being part of Commission, Commission obviously a group of churches. We've got churches all across the south and southwestern London and the home counties and what have you, but also in India, Spain, Portugal, and expanding into other nations as well. One of the joys is getting to know people from other places, other locations, other cultures. And Commission currently has 34 churches in India. And our speaker this morning, Sydney, is part of the team that looks after those churches out there in India, just as I'm part of Guy's team here in the UK. That sort of trying to give you a perspective on Sydney. He leads a church in Mumbai at the moment, having been in further north in India, in Nasik, where he was leading the church and involved with setting up lots of ministry to the poor that was going on up there in Nasik, and looking after widows that have been left on the streets and all sorts of stuff like that. Exciting projects of caring for people. He's now moved into Mumbai, where he's leading Living Word Church. And also do lots. They've got leprosy washing mission. They go on and look after people. Lots of church reaching out into that huge, huge city of Mumbai. So it's my privilege, really, to introduce to you Sydney Nevis from Living Word Church. Can we give him a huge welcome as he comes to speak to us this morning?
Wow. Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you for that warm welcome. It really is a privilege and joy to be here among you. I'm not used to these awesome lights like this, but get used to it. I'm joined and accompanied by my dear wife, Cheryl. Would you please welcome her as well? We have left back our family, which is, we have two daughters, Sasha and Karishma. That's a Christmas photograph of this last 2013. Our older daughter, Sasha, is going to get married in Jan, coming 2015. Exciting, sad, but good. We're enjoying this warm friendship. It was lovely to meet Steve and Joe and Dave and Ali yesterday, sorry. But it was really a joy to meet and get to know them yesterday. And it was also good to be back here with John and Molly. John and Molly and us go back almost 24 years. We were part of Living Word Church, where I'm now leading, and we were a young couple, just married for 6 months, and we felt the Lord speak to us to go and church plant to a place called Nasik, about 200 kilometers north of Mumbai. John and Molly felt to come and help us to start the church plant. So John and Molly came up. I don't know who, everybody knows John and Molly here. Maybe this is a different site. So some of you might know him, some of you might not. But John and Molly came up from the UK to be with us in Nasik for about 3 months first, and then 6 months later. Did he come and speak up here? And did he tell you his stories of the accidents and things like that? So that's John and Molly who came up with us. But about 24 years ago, they looked like that. they came and tried to adapt with us. And that's a sari she's wearing, and that's a kurta pajama in John is wearing. And they came. It was absolutely amazing. We were a young couple, 6 months married. John and Molly had older children, left them back here, and came to start the church in Nasik. We started with about the small little group of people. A few people from the church had come. Somebody called by the name of Graham and Kathy and the children as well. Nikki, if you can see him, he's up in the top there in the middle. He's got hair. Then you can see the side of John in the middle there. That's Nikki. Nikki attends out here. Nikki's fellowshipping here. Yeah. So he was there in those days. So it was difficult. And I hear from Steve that when Steve came up to Chichester, there was a small group as well. And that small group has really grown large, grown to this congregation, and now planning off to Bognor, and then other things as well. So from that, we are now Grace. We call them Grace Church, interestingly. I was just telling Steve this morning that the church in Nasik is called Grace Church. And they're now looking a bit like that. Yeah, there are now three congregations in Nasik. We've handed over to Inder, who's a lead elder there. And there are three congregations there. We've moved from there. We felt the Lord speak to us to move to Mumbai City about 3 years ago. And this is what our church is in Mumbai City. We are one church, two congregations, one after the other in the same site. Because again, because of limited space, Mumbai area is very expensive to live in. So we have two meetings back to back. So I'm a bit familiar with preaching back to back, one after the other, because that's what we do for the last 1 year, two meetings back to back. So that is what's just happening now. Well, we've been in Nasik for 20 years, come to Mumbai for three. 20 years is a long time. But this morning, I want to talk to you about someone who spent 40 years in the back and beyond. Some of you may know him, some of you may not. Some of you may be familiar with this person, and some of you may not. But I'm going to talk to you about Moses. Moses and his burning bush experience. Now, I don't know, in the old days, when you spoke to church, most people knew about familiar characters, but now you never know. So I might tell you a little bit who Moses was. And why are we looking at some person in the Old Testament, about somebody so long ago? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. So we're going to look at Moses. That was an example for something to teach us. And perhaps we can learn something from Moses. Let's read a few verses here. Exodus chapter 1. 3 verse 1 to 10. Now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their suffering, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now, behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray for a minute. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word that is really a sharp two-edged sword that helps us, that encourages us, that draws us to know you, O Lord. We thank you for your word. I pray, Holy Spirit, help me and help each one of us sitting here that we might love you more through this word, that we might be challenged to follow you, Lord, that we might reach the ends of the earth for you, Lord. Bless our time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Steve had asked me to preach on Psalm, on a Psalm. He gave me a particular Psalm and said, you can preach on a Psalm. And I had prepared that Psalm, and I was ready to come to do that. But as I was praying about it, I felt the Lord speak to me to speak about this to this church here for both the congregations. And I felt, Lord, that's a real step of faith, but I do believe this is what God wants me to do. So I'm going to share this in faith. He also said 30 minutes, not to go over more than 30 minutes. But then he has profusely said, well, you don't have to stop for 30 minutes. Please go a little more. So I have that permission from him. Thank you very much. Okay. But I do need to rush back, so I will try and finish off by 11:15 latest. All right? I want to talk about, I'll tell you the story of Moses first. The story of Moses starts with him being a little baby among slaves. Slaves for 400 odd years. People of the people of Israel were in slavery for many, many years in a place called Egypt. And they were just struggling. They were being abused. They were being oppressed. They had to do a lot of slave work. Very difficult time. And they began to cry out to God. And then God began the process of sending someone to save them. Started with a little baby boy that was supposed to be killed. All the babies of the land were supposed to be killed. One little mother said, no, I'm going to try and protect my baby. Put her upon the waters. In the water, the Pharaoh's daughter found the little baby and took the baby home and raised him as her own. After reaching about 40 years in the Pharaoh's palace with all the knowledge and information, he suddenly realized God called him to do certain things. He fought, killed an Egyptian guy. The Pharaoh got angry, and Moses ran away at 40. The story we pick up out here in Exodus chapter 1 is Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. For about 40 years, Moses has run away. He's now in the desert, looking after sheep. What I want to feel, I believe God wants to talk to you and talk to us about faithfulness and diligence. Faithfulness and diligence. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. For how long was he doing this? He was doing this for all of 40 long years. Had he ever done this before? No, he had not done this before. He learned to do it. What kind of a job was this? Perhaps it must have been a boring job. Just going up, taking sheep out, taking sheep in, looking after the water, looking for them, see that there's enough food for them, seeing there's enough protection for them. Perhaps they need to be not walked too long, not too short. Continuously walking all around by himself. He must have been used to a lot of company, a different kind of life altogether. But he was doing this continuously. Day after day, not for 1 year, not for 2 years, but for 40 years. He was doing something that was so monotonous, so boring, so regular. And as I read that, I believe God is saying that are we a people who are faithful and diligent in the things he has called us to do? Are we a people who are faithful and diligent? I want to encourage you and me. We live in a time in society where nothing seems to be consistently there for the long time. A long time ago, everybody stayed in a company. If you joined a company, you stayed in the same company for years, 5 years, 10 years, and people were given awards for 25 years or for retiring. For 40 years of service, people are given great rewards. These days, nobody stays in the same company for more than 2 years or 3 years. Everybody is hopping around here and there and moving on here and there. Everything is instant. Everything is, if it doesn't work, give it up. Relationships, marriages, children, doesn't work, give it up. Everything is kind of just, everything is, if it doesn't work, just forget it. Gadgets, doesn't work, throw it out. We live in that kind of atmosphere in that age. But as you and me, if you're a Christian and you know Jesus, God really is looking for faithfulness and diligence, not for the one day, not for the 2 days, but for the long haul. For the long haul. And sometimes no one's looking at you. Sometimes nobody sees you. Sometimes nobody sees that you're faithfully going to work on time. Nobody sees you're paying the taxes on time. Nobody sees that you're coming to church and just giving yourself to church regularly and consistently. Nobody sees that. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. You may think nobody cares. But God sees. God sees. God sees your faithfulness. God notices your diligence. God notices. In Mumbai, we do a yearly encouragement day. A day of encouragement where we say, everybody who has served right through the year, we do a kind of a red carpet honoring day. And those who have served, but not for those who have served the one-offs. You know, the stars, we have the hero that comes and does a great thing, shoots the goal, and he's the star. But no, we don't want that kind of a hero. God honors the faithful. He says at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. Diligence and faithfulness in our generation is so needed, is so required. We just need to be ones who are faithful. So those, only those in the church that have served for at least 75% of the year. So if you served one off, if you served 10% and you could and you didn't, well, sadly, you don't get the honor. Because God rewards faithfulness, not the one-shot hero. I'm in the mood, so I'll serve. Or I'm not in the mood, so I don't serve. Well, no, that's not it, how it goes. God says faithfulness and diligence. Moses was just faithful. He was just diligent with his... The other interesting aspect of this was he was faithful with something that was not his own. It was his father-in-law's flock. He was faithful on behalf of someone else. And we all need to learn to be faithful and diligent on behalf of someone else. God seems to be watching that. He's shaping us. He's encouraging us. He's building us. He's creating the atmosphere for us that we might be faithful and diligent. I want to encourage and challenge you and urge you to be faithful and diligent. In Mumbai, I don't know, some years ago, there was a good cricketer who's retired now. His name was Rahul Dravid. Anybody heard of this cricketer called Rahul Dravid? Well, you have. In India, he was called the Wall. For some reason, he was called the Wall. And Sachin Tendulkar would come, whack around some very, very good-looking and neat-looking shots. But then the Wall would come, and he would just stick it out. And he would stick it out. And they would try all sorts of things on Rahul Dravid. But he was kind of the Wall. The faithful, the reliable, the unshakable one that seems to somehow bring India right through. But he was not famous. The famous guy was Sachin Tendulkar. Rahul Dravid, very few guys knew him. And if you look at the stats, Rahul Dravid's statistics were very, very good. Pretty good stats of Rahul Dravid, this cricketer. But he was not famous. I think God is encouraged with faithfulness and diligence. Will you and me be faithful and diligent in whatever God has called you to do? The next thing that I feel God's calling us to see, just three things. The next thing is getting your attention. Now, there's lots in this passage of this whole, this one little thing has got lots to draw our attention through and to really challenge us. But I'm just picking up three things that I believe God's put on my heart to encourage you and help you. Getting your attention. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Now, for Moses in those days, he was roaming around for 40 years. So a burning bush was not strange to him. He's in the desert, a burning bush occasionally catches fire, the light at the right time, dry twigs catches fire. It was not a strange sight. It was not a shocking sight. It was not a new sight. He'd seen a burning bush. It would be like for you and me looking at cars. You come out the road and you see cars passing. You don't get shocked. Oh, cars are passing. No, cars are passing. It's a normal thing. But if a car was suddenly flying above, hey, you'll get your attention there. There's a car flying. It's not just driving along the road. Now, what happened to Moses is that he saw this burning bush, perhaps didn't pay too much attention, but then it takes some time to pass. It takes perhaps a couple of hours, maybe a couple of days to pass a burning bush because it's all so wide or perhaps not too high and low. You could see the bush burning. And you've got a lot of sheep, so you're kind of slowly coming and somebody's straying, so you're bringing him in. Boy, your eyes say, hey, it's a burning bush. It should have died off. It's not a big bush. It's a small bush. It should have finished off by now. And then you hear the sheep eye, and you look and you go here and you go there. The bush is not finishing off. Usually bushes finish it off. Usually bushes, it's not abnormal. But then the normal thing is that it finishes off. But this bush is not finishing off. So it says, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. It took him a few moments. It took him a few hours. I think it took him a few days. I don't know for sure. We don't know for sure. But I think it took him a few days to even recognize, hey, there's a bush that's around. I can see it. It's burning. But it's not going off. And then he says, hey, let me just amble over to see why this bush is not burning off. And then when he comes to the bush, suddenly he hears God saying, take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. Now, what I want us to see is God got his attention from something that was very ordinary. God got his attention from something that was kind of normal, but it kind of led to the abnormal. It was kind of just normal. A normal thing happened to him, but as he drew close to investigate this little not normalish normal thing, something happened. He entered into the presence of God. And I want to encourage you that, you know, God is about getting your attention. God wants to get your attention. And he's not going to sometimes, you know, we're looking for the dramatic. We're looking for the car that is hovering over. We're looking for the dramatic healing. We're looking for the dramatic job promotion. We're looking for the dramatic something. And God may not necessarily do the dramatic. He will do the ordinary. But he will get your attention. He will get your attention. And for some reason you notice. And you begin. You need to start looking a little bit more. What is God showing? Perhaps as you're reading your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. If you belong to Jesus, in fact, maybe some of you out here don't know Jesus. You're here attending for the first time. Perhaps you're passing through. Perhaps you're a friend of someone here. And you don't know Jesus Christ. God speaks. Do you know God speaks? And he speaks to you and he speaks to me. But he only speaks if you get to know him. And anyone can get to him. How can you get to know him? If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin and for my sin. Believe that you and me are sinners. And if you put our faith in Jesus Christ, he forgives you of all your sins. And you have a relationship with Jesus. And you can begin to hear God. You can begin to walk with God. You can begin to talk to God. You can begin to listen to him. And I'm talking to you about something that God wants to draw your attention. And perhaps some of you sitting here are Christians for years. You're not even heard God. You just go along with the flow. And God would say, no, I want to speak to you. But the way I want to speak to you is to draw you aside by something that might be strangely normal, but it's abnormal. As you get focused in, perhaps you're reading a verse. Perhaps you're looking at something. It captures your mind. It captures your attention. God wants you to dwell a little more. Begin to pray. Begin to meditate. Begin to think about it. For me and the church, I became a Christian when I was about 19 years old. I loved living life, happy, carefree, and then became a Christian and enjoyed reading the Bible. Didn't really care for church too much, but began to attend the church a bit here and there. And as I began to attend the church here and there, I used to get really upset and irritated and upset with people who call themselves Christians but never followed Jesus properly. And it would be, I don't know if anybody gets irritated and upset with that. I used to get really troubled. And then I got even more hurt when leadership began to hurt me. Oh, with the leadership pains. I don't know if leadership hurts anyone here these days, but for me, it was a great pain then. And I was troubled, and I said, you know, just forget it. But then this particular verse kind of struck me out. Jesus Christ died for the church. Jesus is the husband of the church. That, it was just a little, it was a little kind of a, it's, why would Jesus love the church and give his life for the church? Why? Just a little bit. And it was just that little thought that came into my mind. And I was almost wanting to throw it out because I didn't, my interactions with church were not so helpful, not so good. But that thought kind of drew me in a little bit more to recognize Jesus loved the church and has died for the church. But I said, you know, what kind of people? And Jesus said, I feel that I am exactly like the people I don't like. I'm exactly like that. I mean, exactly, perhaps my own walk was not so good, but I was busy pointing faults at others. Perhaps I didn't know how to lead so well, and I was pointing fault and getting hurt with the leadership. And God was saying to me that I loved the church. Suddenly, that opened up. I was only 20 years old when I fell in love with the church of God like Jesus loved the church. My whole life changed. The things I gave my life for changed. The things I gave my job for, my money for, my time, my energy, my future, the things I studied, everything changed because I began to look at that little thing about the wonder of the church, of how Jesus loves the church. Everything changed. Everything changed. When I met my dear wife, the first thing I said to her, I'd like to marry you, but I believe God's called me to serve the church. I don't know where I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to have. I don't know how it's going to be, but I am here to serve the church. I was 23 at the time I proposed to my dear wife, and that's the way I did it. And she wonderfully said, darling, even if I have to stay in a hut, I'm happy to come with you. Wow. Well, the Lord has blessed us. We stayed in more than a hut. But I'm just saying, I would not have got so captured. Today, it's almost 29 years since I've become a Christian. But I'm still passionate for the church. I still believe the church is God's answer. So when I hear Steve saying, you know, I want to start church here, and I want to start the church there, and I want to start another church there, I want to say, get caught up. He's seen something too. He's seen something exciting. Get caught up with that. And you need to begin to think a little bit more. God wants to get your attention. God wants you to move us on to build the church. No matter what your experiences are, like me, you could be hurt, you could be troubled, you could be pained, you could be put off. But put on, get put on by Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you agree with me? Hallelujah. Yes, we need to. Okay. Another 10 minutes more to go. Or lesser. Let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you a little story of a person. Okay, not the church. This is a lady that that started an old age home. There's lots of stories, but I'll just tell you this little story of a lady that started an old age home. We used to go and pray for people in the slums. And as we used to go and pray for people in the slums, we used to see this, there was this elderly lady called Clara. And she saw this old lady outside her shanty, kind of shivering and shaking. And so we went and prayed for her and blessed her. And then talked to her and found out that that old lady is abandoned. She's got no family around. She doesn't need food because if she goes and begs for food, she gets the food. In India, you beg for food, people find it very good and helpful, and they will give you food. They will give you some money to do. But she was sick. She had no one to communicate to her or to talk to her or even take her to any doctor or to get her care. So we prayed for her and believed God for her, and we moved on. Now, for me, I was there, I prayed, I forgot it. But not Clara. What happened to her? She called me a few days later and said, Sydney, I can't get the thought of that lady out of my mind. I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for her. I'm trying to sleep, and I'm praying for her, and I'm praying for her. I said, Clara, you've done. We've done. Let's leave her in God's hand. But she says, no, I can't get rid of her. I can't get her out of my mind. I want to take her home. I said, take her home? What do you mean take her home? Now, she's a widow. She herself is living in a shanty. She's got 3 children that she's kind of looking after. And she's feeling, I want to take this lady off the streets who we don't know where she's come from. We don't know what type of thing she is. She said, I want to take her home. Now, it shocked me. But as I calmed down, I said, Clara is seeing something. I felt God saying, Clara is seeing something. I must encourage her. I must support her. I must help her. So Cheryl went with Clara and got a hold of that lady, cleaned her up, washed her, took her to the hospital, got her medically cared for. And that was the beginning of something called Krupa Old Age Home in Nasik. It was started almost, 18 years ago. Today, about 30 odd women have come through, lived peacefully, and died in peace. We've had regularly about 12 people in a home that we've rented out, and Clara's got a staff of people that are serving these older people. It's become a kind of a ministry. But it started off by her looking at something that God was showing. It was a God moment. And sitting here, there are lots of things that God's showing you that perhaps you're putting off, things that you need to start, the things that you need to give your time, things that you need to give your energy. What are you seeing? Is it youth? Is it marriages? Is it adults? Is it, I don't know what the situations are here in England. What kind of situation that you're seeing, you're noticing? And perhaps it's not you. Do you notice this next thing? Finally, God called him to be sent. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And I said, hey, that's a strange thing. Look at it again. Now behold, this is God saying to Moses, now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, come to God. I have seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppressed them. Now, come, I send you. Now, I just find this interesting. I find, you know, back in church, there was a young guy that's on the serving team. And a speaker needed to be lifted and pushed there. So he says, hey, John, come on, pick the speaker. Pick the speaker and put it there. So why aren't you doing it? Isn't it? Why aren't you doing it? You see the need to put the speaker from here to there. Why aren't you doing it? And we get a little bit upset with that. Anybody else gets upset like me? I don't know. You see it, you do it. But God says he sees it and he wants you to do it. God sees it and he wants you to do it. Now we think that when we become Christians, it's about me and my comfort. I'm troubled. I'm weak. I'm financially in a difficult situation. Relationally, I'm going through such challenges. Nobody understands me. It's about me. God, come and help me. And God says, it's really not about you. It's about him. He's seeing things and problems that he's going to put upon you. It says in Matthew chapter 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Oh, we only finish and stop there usually. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. But that's not the end of it. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The aim is, God wants to put his burden on you. And if you're whoever you are, God's got a burden, his burden that he wants to put upon you. That no one else can do. That no person else can do. Wherever you go. Some of you are going off and changing churches or changing scenarios here or there. God's got a thing for you to do. What is your thing? What has God called you to do? Is he showing you a burning bush that you need to perhaps investigate a little more, understand a little more, that God can put something upon you and that you can move on for his glory? More story, but I won't get into that story. God is sending you as a church. Will you be ready? Will you be willing? Will you be ready to go? I want to bring this thing to an end. Conclusion, will you be faithful and diligent? Will you be faithful and diligent? From the life of Moses, he was faithful in the back and beyond. Will you be faithful and diligent? Will you be faithful in your marriages? No matter what the atmosphere is around. Not for 1 month, not for 1 year, not for 2 years. For the long haul. Will you be married for 40 years to the same person in an atmosphere where everything is all changing? Will you be diligent? Look after your children. Will you be faithful? Will you recognize God getting your attention? Will you be aware? I don't know how he's going to get your attention, but he's getting your attention. Will you be alert and begin to seek a little more? Seek and you'll find. And finally, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? Go wherever God says to go. Do whatever God says to do. Amen. Let me pray. Let's pray for us. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the life of Moses. Thank you for the challenge that you have for us, Lord. Thank you for God for provoking us to love you and to live for you, and that you called us and really want to send us out. And I pray, oh God, for sharp arrows out here. Some have been here for many years, are good Christians, have been strong in faith, Lord. And I pray, Spirit of God, that you would speak and draw them, that they would take that next step of faith in obeying you, Lord. Whatever you say, wherever you say to go, please help. Please bless Grace Church, oh God. Bless all the sites, oh God. Bless the future of the church, because you see a hurting and a paining world all around that are worried, troubled, burdened, and their cry perhaps is coming up to you, and you want to send people to serve, to bless, to reach. Will you bless this church, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.